Once again, I need to give credit to someone. I've been reading more, and it's a book called I Am Not, But I Know I Am by Louis Giglio. I don't want to ever be, I'm not plagiarizing. And I'm sure you're just thinking, has this guy ever had original thought? Every time I get up here, I tell you a book I'm reading. And the answer is clearly no, I don't. Chapter 3, Exodus, verse 1. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So, I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship the God on this mountain. Moses said to God, Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, What is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. That is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, Say to the Israelites, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever. The name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. It is probably just a normal day for Moses. He's out tending the flock. His life used to be fairly amazing, and he heard and remembered all that stuff. It's just a normal day. And God shows up. But what did he ask him? Did he say, Moses, I really need you right now. It's really important that you're listening because I need you to do something. No. Did he say, please, Moses? No. He says this, I am doing something, Moses. I have a story that I am playing out. It's mine. I've got it. Take your shoes off. You have no idea what you're dealing with here. It's mine. Look at verse 8. So, I have come down to rescue them from the land, from the hand of the Egyptians. I have come down. I could do this myself. I'm going to do it. You get it? You hear it? Over and I'm going to do this. You want to come. You hear Moses? But I can't. Exactly. But I can't, exactly. Did you hear what I said? I am coming to do this. But what if Pharaoh, and he stopped. Do you realize who I am? Verse 14. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. The Greek is translated in the Greek, the word is ego and me. I am. It is the present active form. My name is, I'm doing all of this. My name is, I am here, I've got this, I'm in complete control. Any question you have, the answer is me. I am. Stop worrying about anything. Maybe you put it this way. Moses might ask, are you in control? I am. But what if Pharaoh says, I am? Will you show up when I already am? Before anything happens, I have this completely. So therefore, if God is I am, then Moses is I am not. I am not in control of what is happening. I cannot convince Pharaoh of anything. I am not the center of this story. You see the picture? The I am is working with the I am not. I want you to stop for a second and I want you to look at the list of the titles, the text that we have spent time in for the last 11 weeks. We've called them the hard teachings of Jesus, things that we wish he hadn't have said. Deny yourself and take up your cross. You just look at the list. And I want you to think back for this quarter and say, how have you taken this? Have you been, it's been pretty good, or I wish you guys would have preached it a little bit better. Has it been, this is hard. I don't know what to do with this because my life doesn't. How have you taken this? Or have you looked at this and looked at these and said, of course. Look at the difference between him, the I am, and me. Whatever you say, of course. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and of course. What else is there to do? Become like a little child. That's what I am compared to our God. Of course. I look at this and said, who says this is? This is just my reaction to this God. Gouge out your right eye. I don't want to do anything because I see the difference between him and me, and all I can do is yes. What do you want? Moses hid his face because of this God we come here this morning to be with. And I ask, as you look at these, are you living in God's story? Am I living in the story God is writing? Or am I trying to write my own? And how does it change how you view what God is inviting us to? In Mark 6, Jesus is sitting on a mountainside, had been praying, and he's been watching his guys struggle on that lake. Remember this story? Struggling on the lake. Did Jesus seem worried about them? Did Jesus seem like, I've got to go fix this? This isn't right. No, he knew the story and he was watching them. And the text even says he was going to just walk on by them, but they saw him, so he had to come back. Two different perspectives. The disciples, they were struggling and they were afraid. Jesus' perspective, he's just going to walk on by. He knew what was going to happen. And in verse 50 of chapter 6, Jesus comes and he says to these men, take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. Take courage. Ego and me. Same word. Take courage. Yahweh is in the boat with you now. And I knew it before, I know it now, and I will know it afterwards. The Jewish perspective of this word, if you don't know, they won't even say Yahweh. It was only stated by priests in the temple at certain times, and after the destruction of the temple in 70 AD, they don't speak it. Ever. They don't write it. It is such a revered word. And so for Jesus to step up and look at them and say, take courage, Yahweh is in the boat. They must have been absolutely overwhelmed. They must have been taken aback when he is saying the very personal name of God, I am, is with you now. And today we want to begin with wondering, shouldn't we be too? Shouldn't we be that I am is in the boat with us and knows what the boat tomorrow will look like, is sitting on a mountainside going, I know where they're going. I've got this. I want to begin this morning with a time of just reflection and silence with two questions. What perspective are you looking at your life with right now? And it may be seen through those 11 things that we put up on the board, but what perspective do you see your life with? Number one, that my story is a story that God is in. I come to church. That God is in my story. Or, this is completely God's story that I have been invited to. Just spend some time in just prayer, and we'll begin as we worship. The I Am is on the cross. How incredibly difficult for any Jew, much less how incredibly difficult that I am is on the cross. This name that any Jew could not separate from this God of Exodus, this Redeemer, this powerful, present, active, redeeming God is now here. And he was put there by a bunch of I am nots. Or was he? Now my heart is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. He's known the story from the beginning of time. It's his story. But no one else in the story seems to know. They are living in their own little stories. The disciples have scattered and they think they've failed. See how they've made the story about them. The Romans think they are in control. And the religious leaders believe they are justified and they get to win this argument. They are correct. And I just wonder, how does Jesus deal with so many people who don't live in his story but try to live in their own? Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him, along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And they kept going. They divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood just watching. And the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine, vinegar, and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, then save yourself." There was written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." Have you ever wondered who he's talking to when he says, "Father, forgive them"? The people who none of them understand the story. Who is he pleading with his Father to forgive? Is it the disciples? Is he going, "God, please, Dad, forgive them. They're coming back. They're going to come. Forgive them, please." Is he pleading for the Romans? Because he loves them too. Is he going, they don't. "Please, Father, forgive them"? Is he pleading for this religious elitist group who has beaten him down from the moment he began? Is he saying, "Father, I love these people. Please, please"? Or is he pleading for you this morning? Is he pleading for me? "Father, forgive Kyle. Every week we go through this. He thinks he understands and he doesn't. He wants to understand and he doesn't. Please forgive him. Please walk with him. Please let me continue to be..." He doesn't understand. That's why he came. It's for this very reason I came to this hour. It's for this reason I came to this hour. Forgive them. And let our love change the world. That's why we take this bread. To remember that the I Am came for the I Am Not. Let's pray and partake in his body. Fathers, we take your Son's body. We remember that the I Am was on a cross and we don't understand or pretend to. And so often I think of what I am not. And this morning, I want you to paint your story and take me out of my little story as I take your Son's body to remind me that this is your creation. That what you are doing is perfect and that you are God alone. From before time began, you sat on your throne and you knew this time would be here. We partake in your Son's body right now and remember whose story and whose plan and whose life this really is. It's in the name of Christ. Amen. Later, knowing that all was completed, and so that Scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I'm thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of a hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It's finished." With that, he bowed his head, and he gave up his spirit. "It is finished. Plan, it's finished. From Genesis 3 when Adam and Eve needed to be a bigger part of the story. And destroyed the connection between God and His people that He wanted. Until this moment had been, it had been leading up to this time. It is finished. What I had in the garden before they wanted something more, before they thought them being a bigger part of the story was really what it was about, we get to go back to that. To have Jesus say, I've got this. I've got it. It's mine. All the stuff that you think about and that you worry about, that you are not, it's mine. Let me have it, please. Let me have it. Don't come sitting in here and doing the same thing week after week after week and continuing to clutch on as if it is your story. Let's pray. Father, we remember this morning what Your blood is for us. Yes, we think of the suffering and the pain and all that, but this morning, can we think of the joy that it brings this room? I am a part of Your story. I am a son of the living Creator of the universe. Even though I am not, I am a friend of I Am. And I am free because of this blood. We remember Him. We remember what He brought back to us. A connection with You. And a freedom that can only be experienced and lived. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we close, go ahead and sit down. As we close today, I just want you to take a look again at what we've done for 11 weeks. But it's so much larger than that. Are these hard teachings of Jesus? Are these the yearning of a heart who wants to be with their I Am? Are these, you must be this, and when you fail, you are not measuring up? Or are these the longings of a son and a daughter of God who wants to aim at something so different? The world will see it and go, what is that? How is that possible? I want to read you this email that I got yesterday morning. And I just want you to listen to her heart. She got a lesson I sent for the life groups, and this was her response to me. Kyle, you asked in this lesson whether the questions were hard. You were asking her entirely new. Actually, Kyle, neither. Why is it that we keep saying that things like, how would it change our lives if we truly believed? What would it look like if we took God at His words? Things like that. Kyle, let's just do that. Not perfectly, of course, but let's just do it. Let's keep on doing it and growing and serving with joy and power and the power and amazing God who is. I am weary, Kyle, of excuses and our wallowing. We have a God who has brought us up out of the land of Egypt. He has revealed Himself to us in the miraculous way of becoming one of us, one of His own creation. Does that not blow your mind? I can't comprehend it. I can simply fall at His feet and say, thank You, thank You, thank You. I praise You, I praise You, I praise You. What can I do? What must I do? Anything, Lord, anything. You are God. Besides, there is no other. All else falls into oblivion but You. My life is not important. My needs are not important. My opinions are certainly not important. Only you, my Father, only you. Kyle, when we in our weakness allow our lives and needs and wants to grow in importance, we can only come to Him in our neediness and ask Him to forgive and strengthen and purify and empower and cleanse and receive. He will not fail us. He never does. When things seem painful or difficult in our lives, we bring them to Him knowing that they are really not, because He is. Amen? Maybe look at it through this lens. A text that you probably get tired of hearing from us. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples. You've heard it, right? Of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. You might hear, go make disciples. Yes. Baptize the world, teach, obey. Yes. But all those could be tried in your little story, in my little story. But verse 20 says, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. When you think you know, when you think you understand, when you think it, you have it all, you figured it all out, I am with you always. I'm with you in that, and I'm walking with you in that. When you believe He is against you, I'm with you then. When you have lost everything that you hold dear, I am with you. When you are loving your spouse, when you are trying to win your lost friend to Christ, I am with you. When you're selfish, loving, hateful, broken, when you are human, when you are fully you, I am with you always. This morning, really this series, it's not about the 11 things. It's, can we do this? Can we just go? Can we stop? This is what I'm not, or this is how I failed, or my group's not doing well. This way. Can we just know it's His story and not ours? I don't like preaching because it's always hard, because all week I have spent thinking and trying and figuring out, even as this has unveiled, to make this story about me. It's got to be this way, and we've got to figure this out, and I hope that this happens in the... Can we just go? Because He has made you enough. It's His story. We are walking up to the burning bush and taking off our sandals and going, what? What do you want? Where do you want us to go? Because I can do nothing. Praise God. Elders, staff, if you would move to your places. These guys are standing around not because they have anything figured out, but because they want to be with you. You may need to talk. You may need to pray. There may be someone in this room who says, I want to serve that God for the rest of my life. And that is what baptism is. You may just need to be loved on this morning. But let's continue to worship. Whatever you need, that's what we want to be about here.